Let's turn to Judges. Judges, chapter 16, verse 21. I want to preach a very, very simple sermon because I'm a very, very simple preacher. I want to preach on the results of continued sin. I'll be preaching to those that say they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. The results, and get the word continued sin. I'm not just going to preach on sin. I'm going to preach on the results of continued sin. I see people, especially young people, and they think they can toy with sin. They think it's kind of a light thing. I'm young, I can handle it. No, you can't. You will destroy your life. Destroy it. We all sin, and God will forgive our sin. But if we just continue on, we'll be destroyed. And that's what I want to preach about. Judges 16:21. But the Philistines took him. Again, we're talking about Samson. We all know Samson. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is a worthless thing for me to do if you're not speaking through this message. And so, Holy Spirit, I would just ask that you'd speak to people, especially people that say they're saved and think they can play with sin. Help them to understand they cannot. And sin will destroy them. In your name we pray. Amen. The name Samson, I would guess, probably is known as well as any name out of the Bible. To me, it means strength and adventure. He was probably the greatest fighter that ever lived. He was just super strong, and God just used him. I understand, I think I'm right, they're having some big fight at the White House today with all these, I don't even understand this kind of fighting, but anyway, they're going to tear things up. I just say, whoever they are, these championship fighters, I really believe that if Samson would get in the ring with him, he'd just tear him up. There'd be nothing left. And he lived in a day when the Philistines were Israel's bitter enemy. And the people of God needed a leader, and he appointed Samson the judge or the leader of all of Israel. He was like the king or the president. He was a leader. They judges led in that day. And one day, the Philistine leaders said to the leaders of Israel, "Unless you turn Samson over to us, we're going to burn your cities and kill and plunder your people." So Israel's leaders came to Samson and asked him if he would let them deliver him to their enemy. Samson, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say this, but I think he grinned a little bit and said, "Sure, you guys just stay out of the way." And so they bound him and led him to the Philistines. And as they walked along, suddenly he broke the ties, picked up the jawbone of a donkey, and slew 1,000 of the Philistines. Now you think about it, one man with nothing but a donkey's jawbone kills 1,000 armed people. One day, he went down to the city of Gaza, and his enemies waited at the gate to catch him. Now again, this was no picket fence. We study into this, you see the wall was 20 feet thick, and I'm sure that the gate weighed thousands of pounds. And these guys are waiting to jump him, and I'm sure they were talking big, "He killed my brother, we'll get him." Tried to make a fool out of us, we'll show this child of God how to die. They said, just as soon as he opens the gate, he won't know what hit him. But nobody opened the gate. He picked the gate up, posted it all, and carried it on his back, carried it away. And these Philistines looked bug-eyed and started making excuses, wanted to be excused from the festivities. Another time, and again, if you know the Bible, there's a lot of stories like this. He caught 300 foxes. I don't know whether he trapped them or run them down, but he set their tails on fire and sent them through the wheat and barley fields of the Philistines and burned them down. A lot of stories in the Bible about what Samson did. But the most well-known, and I just happen to think probably maybe the most well-known to unsaved people is Samson and Delilah. I think the unsaved people kind of like that because a Christian fell. But this is a story about how he was betrayed by Delilah, a woman from the Valley of Zorah. As I read the story of Samson and Delilah, I really can't understand how stupid he could be. He was seduced. They kept asking, or he kept asking, why he was so strong. And he kept on getting closer to the truth. Now, isn't it something how foolish we can be when we get into sin, especially with women? She kept on going against him, but he kept on getting closer and closer. And he was so blinded that he really continued their relationship. Look at verse 16 of chapter 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was so vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarene unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up here this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees and called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison. Some of the saddest words in all the Bible are, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. I think there's a lot of Christians like that today. They've lost their power. They've lost their direction, and they wist not that the Lord had departed. He played with sin one time too many, and they put out his eyes. Can you imagine the hot irons on that sensitive? And they bound him, it says, with fetters of brass. I'm sure he quinged as they put it on, and he ground in the prison house. Here was Samson, the leader. He became a clown, like a sideshow freak. Samson, the strong, became Samson, the weakling, like a puppet. Samson, the judge, became Samson, the joke, because he didn't fear sin. Some people think it's funny. I'll tell you what, once you're in that prison house grinding, it's not funny. They put out his eyes, but he was blind before that. He was blind to the Bible fact that your sin will always find you out. You never get by with it. I think if we were to talk to him during those days of sin and ask him, "Don't you know the Bible says you reap what you sow?" He'd say, "Yeah, but I'm getting by with it." Now, I don't know what it is, but I've dealt with thousands and thousands of people, with hundreds of teenagers. They always think they're getting by with it. "I'm getting by." Don't you know how the devil works? He doesn't show you the end from the beginning. He lures you along. You think you're getting by with it, and your sin destroys you every time. If there's a God in heaven, it happens every time. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs. Proverbs 28. Have you ever noticed that the guy who falls into sin ruins his life, brings heartache to his loved ones, always thinks he can get by with it? They always think they are. Do you think the devil's a fool? Do you think he's going to show you the end result? He lures you. He lures you along. Samson thought he's different. He knew about Adam and Eve. He knew about Cain's sin and his reaping. But he was different. But the Bible clearly says, clearly teaches throughout its pages what's taught in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Do we sin? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. You're a sinner. Where the trouble comes in is when we cover it, when we hide it, when we try and act like we're not sinners. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's a wonderful ending, but a hard, horrible beginning. You cannot keep sinning and prosper. If you don't learn from your sin, I want to tell you, I started out by talking about being saved. I was saved 78 years ago in Chicago. I've been saved a long time. And I pastored for decades. I pastored hundreds of people. And I'll tell you something that I've learned, and I guarantee it's true. You do not get by with sin. God is merciful. He forgives sin, but if you just continue sinning, you're spitting in God's face and he won't get by with it. There was a teenage boy, as I said, this simple message, down in West Virginia who suffered sunstroke. He really basically lost his senses. The other boys were very good to him, took him swimming with him, hunting, fishing, things like this. And one day they were crossing one of these two-lane highways there in West Virginia, and a car was speeding down on them. And the other boys yelled, "Jump, run." But this boy was just horrified and just frozen. And the car came, put on its brakes, and skidded to a stop just inches from the boy. The driver cursed and went around, and one of his friends grabbed him off the highway and said, "You can't, you got to get off the highway, the car will kill you." But this boy started thinking about what happened in his dull mind. He thought, "They all had a run, and I didn't. The car didn't hit me. The car's afraid of me. So he would go down to the highway. It's not a funny thing. He'd go down to the highway and hide and jump out in front of cars. Usually they just kind of honk and go around. But some of them would be skidding, and it was just a horrible thing. His father spanked him, tried to get him to stop, and his mother would cry. But he'd laugh. You run. The cars will get you, but not me. Every chance he had, he was down there. Cars were skidding all over the place. He was down there one day, and he heard the horn of a freight train. And he thought, boy, if it's so much fun stopping a car, this will be tremendous to stop a freight train. And so he went down there. It was moving fast, hauling coal, couple engines. And he jumped out defiantly with a silly grin. The engineer yelled and blew the horn, but he just stood there. And on impact, the train threw him ahead and it ran over him. They picked up the pieces over a mile period. Listen, that is a picture of people in sin. I can get by with it. I'm different. I know what the Bible says, but man, my family's different. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You reap what you sow. But there's a wonderful promise here. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Amen. Samson thought, I'm different. Sin, it won't destroy me. I've never lost a battle. I'm Samson. That is something. I'm just talking from the heart. I have fallen into this in my lifetime. I'm okay. No, you're not. You never get by with sin. Because he was blind to the consequences of sin, he was soon blind physically and grinding. If the devil can make you believe it doesn't really matter about your sin, I'm okay. You'll rationalize it, your sin will destroy you. And he wants to get you when you're young. Destroy you. There was a Christian man walking down what's called Skid Row in Chicago. Again, I'm from Chicago. As a teenager, we'd go down there to the missions and work, so I'm very familiar with Skid Row. It's a place of bars and dives and houses of prostitution. And this man found a drunk that was either asleep or unconscious, laying in the gutter. He had a stubble of beard, his mouth was open, stained teeth were broken, vomit coming out, going into the gutter, pants stink. Man stood there for a while, didn't know what to do. As he was standing there, two young guys in their 20s came running across the street laughing and joking and actually jumped over this drunk. And they were going into the store of a tavern, and this Christian man yelled, he said, don't go in there. Look at this guy. Don't you know? You're going to end up this way. Your family gone, your pride gone. And instead of being grateful, of course, these young guys laughed and said, who do you think you are? Who do you think you're talking to? I've had so many act that way. Don't you know we have enough sense to stop drinking? This house didn't have the willpower. He never had the willpower to quit. About that time, the paddy wagon came and picked up the guy in the street. This was many years ago now. Where do you think those two guys are? Stockbrokers, college professors? Business executives? No. If I were a betting man, I'm not. But if I were a betting man, I'd put money down. They're just like that souse. You think, I can handle it. That's a devil's lie. I can handle it. I can handle it. No, you can't. There's no man alive, there's no woman alive that can handle sin. Nobody. If the devil can blind you to sin, he'll bind you to it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Let that sink in. Doesn't say if you sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Some do wrong, lie, and cover. They think they're getting by with it. You'll be bound. It'll destroy you. It'll grind you. You'll ruin your testimony. You'll ruin your life. Say, I've got everything handled. Boy, I've got it. No, it'll ruin your family. The devil says it's okay. You can get by with it. You never do. Now, I'm going to stand up here again and say, I've been saved a long time. Now, you may think, oh, he doesn't notice. I know what I'm talking about. I've probably dealt with more people than you'll ever see in your life. Sin destroys your life. God is merciful, yes. You come to him for forgiveness, yes. Oh, he's a loving God, yes. But you look in his face and go on and sin, you're destroying yourself. You never get by with it. This sermon is a simple sermon, a lot of stories. I heard a story about someone stealing mail. Now, this was back a ways. Organizations reported mail containing money was not getting to them, and so the federal postal inspectors got involved, started sending fake mail to these organizations. They wanted to see where the breakdown was, and they narrowed it down to a certain post office. Now, again, at least it's this time. I couldn't say what happens today, but there's a room in post offices that the only door into it is from the outside, and they can see all the workspace inside. And these federal workers got in there, and they could see everybody. And the federal people said, we guarantee you, now that we know which post office it is, we guarantee you we'll catch them. But when somebody said, what if he stops? And the federal workers say, they'll never stop. They're hooked. And sure enough, they caught a guy sorting mail. Every time he thought he had a couple of envelopes with cash in it, he would kind of turn around a twinkling eye, shove it in his shirt, and end up going to the bathroom and flushing the evidence down the toilet. But what got me is what the federal workers said. They never quit. They're hooked. They can't quit. If the devil can get you to the place where you believe your little sin is okay, it's just my little sin. Everybody sins. If the devil can get to you to the place where you think, I can get by with it, you're bound and you'll grind. Young people think preachers have it in for them. What do they think? I'm a sex fiend? A criminal? No. But we know the results of sin. We've seen it over and over and over and over. A wasted life, shattered dreams. One last story. This is a sermon of stories. Bill Rice, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's the one that started Bill Rice Ranch. I'm old enough, he used to preach for me and this type of thing. He tell a story about going to college with a guy by the name of Mac. He's a fellow with a great personality, charm, great athlete. And they were best of friends, went to college together at Decatur Baptist College down in Texas. His parents were well-to-do, Mac's parents, and all they thought about was girls and social life and clothes, and Bill Rice was not rich. He worked ironing and washing shirts for others and cleaning the dorm and going to the grocery, working in the grocery store. He wore patched pants and old shirts, and Mac wore nothing but the latest. And one night, Mac came back to their room drunk, and he vomited all over the room. And the next day, he was embarrassed. He apologized. He said, "I've learned my lesson. It'll never happen again." But he ran with the wrong crowd. And he continued to drink, and they ended up bragging about it. After a while, he came back and said, "I was immoral." And he cried, and he said, I was going to be a preacher. I was never going to do this. I'll never do it again." But again, wasn't long until he came to Bill Rice and said, "I've got a girl who wants to date you. She's pretty." And Rice argued with him. "You're going to be a preacher. You're going to never drink, never smoke, and look at you." Mac, of course, said, "You make me ashamed. Look at you. You're a goody-goody. Look at the clothes you wear." Mac moved out, and the rest of the campus then started laughing at him, and that's how it goes. "Look at you. Look at the clothes you wear." The campus laughed at him. "You're a goody-goody." In the yearbook, Mac was the most likely to succeed. Bill Rice quit that college and eventually graduated from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And a few years later, Bill Rice was pastoring a small country church in Texas. He was married and had a child. And Dr. Frank J. Morris, J. Frank Morris, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he was the pastor of the largest Baptist church in America at one time. He invited him to preach at a conference. The conference was supposed to start at 11 in the morning, or he was supposed to preach at 11. And he came early, about 8. Now, that was years ago, an old building like this, if you can imagine, thousands of people. He parked way down, no parking, just like our church has no parking. And he was walking back, and he heard his name, Bill. And he looked around and saw nothing but a drunk. And he just ignored him, and he kept going. And he said, "Bill Rice." And he stopped. And sure enough, it was dirty, filthy, smelly Mac. Rice put his arms around him, talked to him, and Mac talked about social disease, married, divorced, fired from jobs, and now he was begging for another drink. Rice gave him some, got him something to eat, put him in the YMCA, never saw him again, wouldn't come in here and preach. But he said when he walked in that auditorium, there were 3,000 people waiting for him to preach. And he looked at his wife and looked at his baby. And he thought about the days he envied Mac. He was poor. He was a brunt of jokes. And Mac was living in sin, seemingly getting by with it. He was the popular one. He was the most popular. Let me tell you something. You never get by with sin. Now, I talk about being old and talk about being saved for a lot of years. You know what that gives me? Experience. I pastored a large church. You know what that gives me? Experience. I've dealt with thousands of people through the years, for decade after decade. And I want to stand up here and say something. You never get by with sin. Now, I'm not saying we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the point that I'm making is that if you just turn on God, of course, if you're not saved and you just say, I'm not going to get saved, you're going to end up in hell. Well, you say, well, I'm saved. You don't get by with sin. You do not get by with sin. Now, I'm through preaching. I just want to say, as I preached, simple sermon, couldn't have been more simple. As I spoke, did God put something in your head? Did God say, you better take care of that. You better stop it. I want to stress, you come to the Lord for forgiveness. He gives you forgiveness, and your sin is just put as far as it's the east is from the west. But if you stiffen your neck and you say no, and you're going to go on with your sin, it's sad. You say, who do you think you are? I'm a guy who has dealt with thousands of people, thousands of young people. I'm a guy who has seen people say, oh, I'll get by with it. I'm getting by with it. You never do. And because I care, I'm warning. Take care of it. Run from the sin. Turn from the sin. Go to somebody. If you're a young person, go to your father or your mother. Tell them. Be accountable. If you're older, go to another. Go to your pastor. But don't continue in sin. It will destroy you. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for how clear and plain your word is. Thank you that you don't beat around the bush, Lord. That if we want to know the truth, you'll give it. And I just pray you'll use this simple message to speak to somebody. Somebody will salvage their life and not be destroyed because they think they can get by with sin. In your name we pray. Amen.